Today, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited Jerusalem's Western Wall and said, "I'm touched by the weight of the responsibility that the people of Israel have put on my shoulders. I wish to say that I will do anything in my power to ensure the well-being and security of all the citizens of Israel." Netanyahu's come-from-behind victory over more centrist and left-leaning parties in yesterday's elections to hold on to his leadership surprised many. But in the final hours, he began campaigning far to the right, saying, for instance, there would be no Palestinian state on his watch, and telling voters yesterday on Election Day that the left was busing Arabs to the polls in droves. So how is this win resonating in the region? Rami Khoury is editor-at-large for Lebanon's Daily Star. He's also a senior public policy fellow at the American University of Beirut and joins us now by Skype. Rami, your thoughts?
Well, it really wasn't a surprise at all, because for the last 30 years or so, there has been a steady drift and shift to the right in Israel towards more ultranationalists, colonizing settlers, militants, and religious hardliners. And all of those four groups have been moving together to dominate Israeli politics, and now they seem to dominate Israeli society. A similar shift, by the way, has been going on around much of the Arab world, a shift to the right as well, with more religiosity and more strong feelings.
Rami, I have to jump in, though. I mean, Isaac Herzog, left-leaning challenger, was leading in the polls. He's someone who talked about wanting to have better relations with Palestinians. He was leading up until these comments from Netanyahu.
Well, there's a difference between polls and reality. The polls are a possible indicator of what might happen, and the actual voting came out to be very different. But more important than that is that the platform of the centrist party, as they call it, is not really very centrist, because if you look at their position on, for instance, the Arab-Israeli issue, you know, they were talking about a united Jerusalem forever under Jewish-Israeli Zionist control. They were talking about continuing to build settlements, maybe withdrawing from some. There was really very little difference on the position towards the Palestinians between the two major parties. The differences were pretty insignificant and probably would not have passed any Knesset majority. So the fear in the Arab world, the concern, is that we are now seeing the reality, which is a very militant, right-wing, super-nationalist Israeli populist majority that rules Israel democratically. And this is a huge challenge to the international community, particularly the UN and Europe and US and others, who have assumed that there will be a negotiation leading to two states, and Netanyahu is saying, not in my time.
Well, an advisor to Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian Authority president, said that this will only push Palestinians to further press their case before the International Criminal Court. We remember they asked to join the court last year, and they want to lodge war crime charges against Israel for those settlements that you mentioned in the West Bank and military operations. Is that inevitable, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. The move towards the international institutions like the UN Security Council, the International Criminal Court, the UN Human Rights Council, and other such institutions, that move started really about a year ago when the Palestinians pretty clearly saw, after 20 years of negotiations with the Israelis, that there was no serious will on the Israeli part for a two-state solution. And the Palestinians started looking at options. They thought maybe Obama and Kerry would provide some muscle that would enforce international legality, but that didn't happen. And therefore, they turned in the end to the international institutions to try to get a redress of grievance there. If it happens in the Security Council or in the United Nations General Assembly, the Americans can apply muscle to protect Israel. But when it happens in the ICC, the Americans are not members of the ICC. We don't know what's going to happen. The wild card in this is the Europeans. If the Europeans take a more strident, vigorous position on this, it might lead to a global movement that would apply sanctions to Israel for its occupation policies, similar to what the world did with apartheid South Africa. And this is scary to the Israelis, but it may be the last option for the Palestinians to activate along with the international organizations.
Rami, one last question for you. There was good news for Arabs in the elections last night when Prime Minister Netanyahu referred to the Arabs going to the polls. These were Israeli citizens. And the United List, which was a coalition of different Arab-Israeli groups in Israel, won 14 seats in parliament.
Well, it shows greater willingness among the Israeli Arabs to participate in the political national life of the country, to achieve goals mainly for social justice issues rather than national political issues with the Palestinians, because they are a minority, but they have serious problems in terms of housing, jobs, social welfare, education, and that's good news on that front. They'll be able to work more in the Knesset, but they'll have zero impact on the Arab-Israeli issues.
Rami Khoury, editor-at-large for the Daily Star and senior public policy fellow at the American University of Beirut there in Lebanon. Rami, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.